90% of consumers read online reviews before visiting a business. What do people see when they look you up online? We give you the tools you need to take control of your reputation. Send surveys to your customers via text message with Testimonial Collector. Get 5-star reviews on all the major platforms like Google, Yelp, and more. Track what people are saying about your business with Reputation Manager. Respond to comments and turn negative reviews into happy customers. See what your competitors' customers are saying about them with Competition Tracker. Learn great marketing tactics and what it takes to stay on top. A bigger social presence means more connections. Automatically generate and schedule engaging social media posts with Social 365. Build trust, boost sales, and grow your business. Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome back to Thursday, another day in the life of an entrepreneur. And do I have another amazing, talented guest? I'm very appreciative because I work with some of the best PR agents that bring me the best guests. And of course, I always listen to my followers, my subscribers, always wanting certain types of guests. So I work really, really hard on getting these type of guests on the show. So before I introduce who I have today, I always want to give a special thank you to my sponsor, Marketing Out the Box with Sean Maddox, who has been really great and instrumental on getting me out there. I appreciate you so much, as well as blackpearlpromotions.com. So you can check them both out. That's marketingoutthebox.com or blackpearlpromotions.com with Sean Maddox. You can go to my website, entrepreneurlifeshow.com, click on the link, check him out, go find him. And for everybody who is listening on one of your very favorite podcasts, thank you so much. You're amazing. I appreciate you, even though I cannot see you. And those who are watching live, maybe you're watching on Twitch, or maybe you are on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube, chime in if you want, ask some questions, jump in on the super chat on YouTube, subscribe, and maybe you can chat with a guest. Maybe he'll answer some questions for you. So who do I have today? So those, you know, I love quality music. For those who are like me, who are not necessarily into a lot of today's music, not that it's all not great. I mean, it's a lot of it that's great, but it's different. There's not a lot of quality to me. There's not a real story, you know, and don't, people don't get mad at me. I mean, not all artists, you know, are like that, but today's music is a little different. And if you really, really enjoy quality music, this is the kind of music that always lives on. And when I bring him on, you're going to understand what I am talking about, because this is the type of music, the lyric, that it does not matter how old you are. When you hear good music, you could be 90 and still listening to the same music from when you were 23, because it's good quality music that you understand, and new artists keep bringing it back into today's music. Because why? Because it's damn good music. That's basically it. So anyway, so let me bring him on today. I have St. James, singer, songwriter, R&B. He actually is the founder and CEO of Household Entertainment. You know, I want to really bring him on to express a lot that he's doing, because he's doing a lot. If when you meet him, and I'm going to bring up some of the stuff he does, the music he has, his website, I love his music. It kind of brings me back to like baby making music. I don't know. Let me not say that. Let me not say that. Okay, so let me bring him on the show so you guys can see who he is and meet who I really enjoy. I really enjoy. I'm looking at his website right now. Okay, let me bring him on the show. Let me bring him on the show real quick. Hi. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being my guest.
What's up, lady? Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. And that was a great introduction, by the way.
And you know what? I meant it. I'm not saying because you are here, because I have done other, I've had other guests and had other interviews with different performers, from Spree from Arrested Development, Teddy Riley happens to be, I do some work for him.
Okay.
And just some other people on my show. But it always comes back to when I listen to music today. I'm in my 50s. This might sound funny, but I have kids in their 30s, and they'll hear something and say, "Oh, Mom, have you heard that song?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I was going to the club with that song. Like, it's not new, but it's new to them because it's good music." So I first want to start off. I know you're born in Chicago. I did a little research on you. Okay. And if you can just share a little bit about, although you transitioned from Chicago and moved around, how, from growing up in your youth, what was it that inspired you that led you to wanting to make your career choice in music and specifically this genre?
Well, first of all, thank you again for having me. Second of all, I'm in my 50s too. And I have 30-something-year-old. You know, they think they know more than we do, like they gave birth to us.
Right, right.
But I've been singing since I was about five, maybe in the late 60s, early 70s. My mama put me out in the middle. I grew up in some of the toughest houses in Chicago, some of the poorest conditions, man. So with that being said, man, it was just like, everybody was trying to get out the hood and the projects back in the 60s, 70s, man. So, Michael Jackson 5 were real relevant back then, just coming out on the scene. So my mama felt like I was little Michael, so she put me out there with a pit bucket, and I literally was making money singing. So I started at that early of an age loving music. But my grandmother was the matriarch and gospel singer in the family, and she kind of like, would make sure every Sunday you had to be up for Sunday school and go to church. But during the weekdays, we were Otis Redding, Shy Lights, Temptations. We was getting it in, barbecuing and, cooking out, stuff, the same thing, So yeah, but from that point forward, I got bitten by the music bug. And I all through school, grade school and high school, I did music. And the rest is history. After I joined the military at 18, straight to the Army right out of high school. And from that point forward, I start singing and got in a group. And the next thing you know, I'm in the industry trying to get a record deal like everybody else used to try to do a lot of.
So I know that you're an independent artist. And why I bring that up is, now today, a lot of stuff is digital. And it was very difficult. I mean, back in my 20s, I paid my way through school. I did I was one of them video girls, but I knew different artists, but it was so much more difficult in the industry. And it wasn't always who you knew. You could be extremely talented,
right?
But it was hard to get into those labels and to get your music heard. So now that you're independent, how much freedom does that give you? But also as well as being able to really display your music, because so much is digital now.
I was out there shopping record deals back in the CD days when CDs were real, still in the merchandising and you were selling units. It was a total different game then. The digital age has made it a lot more convenient to kind of put stuff out there, and like you're building your entrepreneurial life platform and stuff. That the same thing with artists. We have independence. We have autonomy. We have control of our product, but it's a lot harder because you don't have the machine or the major budget to get behind pushing what you do. So you have to organically build one follower at a time. You know what I'm saying? And it's a process of work. But the liberation in it all is that I can do what the heck I want to do when I want to do it. Put out what I want to put out. Nobody's telling me how to look, how to dress, what to say, what not to say. And that could be a good thing and a bad thing depending on if you don't display any balance in your approach. You have to have a balanced approach to this thing because everything matters, overall. Ultimately, some stuff can come back to haunt you if you ever hit a top platform. Mm-hmm. Or a major level in your career, some stuff you might have said as an independent could come back to bite you as a major, or if you ever get mainstream. So you got to watch what you say and do, and you got to be prepared for to not care what people think ultimately, man. You know, so that's where, so the digital age has definitely been a great situation for independent artists. But in the end, man, it still boils down to the money. How much money you got? How can you promote your brand? What you can put behind it to continuously build it and enhance it and always polish it and get better. You know, so that's where I'm at with it. So I'm excited about the potential of what's going on with my music and what I'm doing right now. I never thought I'd get to this place. Where, you know, and it's to this place. What does that mean to me? It's just a place of traction where people are listening to my music, and I'm getting, you know, I'm getting people supporting what I'm doing, because this is a grassroots movement that I put together of R&B for rhythm and blues. This genre has taken a real hit over the last 10 years. You know, a lot of people don't, you know, it's hard to sell R&B. It's like, I use this analogy, and it's kind of funny, but you know, we all know that the drug in America is very strong. But let's put it in this category, in this mindset. Like, you got there's different synthetic stuff going on right now, but then there's the old school mushrooms. People still that ever did mushrooms. I'm just saying, nobody's doing mushrooms per se, but R&B is like mushrooms in the music industry. It still gets you where you got to be. But it's a throwback kind of thing. So I hate the fact that people are looking at R&B as something that's not super relevant. But all you hear rappers doing right now is singing.
Yes. And all you need is that one hook, and they keep saying that hook over and over and over again.
Over and over again, and you're like, okay. Yeah, anyway, I digress. But it's just so much going on with but the internet's also created a level of oversaturation.
Yeah.
Everybody's singing. Everybody's a rapper. Everybody owns a record label. Everybody's a producer. Everybody's a podcaster or on the platform. You know, and you just got to sift through like anything else. But I'm excited, man. I appreciate you again having me on the show.
So, in the beginning, as I was saying, you know, there's a difference in quality music, because you see a lot of one hit wonders, or they're in for right now, and then they're gone because it's just that hook. Or it's because of beat, and that's it. And so to be able to stay in the game for so many years, it seems that people continually go back, because I hear it in music today, reusing and sampling music from the 80s and the 90s, like so often,
right,
just telling you that people are still in need of that quality music. There's no storyline anymore.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So how I would say, I can see that could be very challenging, but how do you think that it has changed the... Hey, Stone, I'm sorry. Hi, there's Stone Paxton from, I'm not sure if you're aware of Stone, but from the original Stone City Band. He's great, great guy, come out with some great music.
Okay, that's what's up. What's up, Stone?
And so music has really changed today, but if there's anything that you can give an insight to artists coming up, because they're and managing themselves and being able to stay in the game, because you've been in it so long, they seem to be looking for the likes, the followers, versus trying to stay in the industry for so long. You know, is there anything that you would advise? And like, you know, if some people just want money, then money's gone tomorrow.
Right. Well, it depends on what you do it for. If you're doing this for the love of the art and the love of music, then you would do it for free. And a lot of us have done it for free to get to any level of compensation in the end. So I guess they would have to search their true motive. A lot of us as human beings, we have a tough time introspecting and also being transparent with our own motives and desires. So you got to search your soul. Why are you doing this music? Are you doing it for the fame? Are you doing it for the ladies, for the guys, for the validation, for the likes and all of that? Or are you doing it because you simply have the talent, the desire, and you care about music? I do this strictly for the love of the art. You know, I've done it for free. I've struggled. I've been homeless over it. I've lost opportunities, relationships because of my dream and chasing this music all my life since I was in my early 20s. And, you know, and I've walked away from it for over 7 years because of the roller coaster volatility of the industry, up and down, in and out, hopes and dreams, letdowns, heartbreaks, joys, and a lot of stuff this industry puts you through when you don't understand the business side of it. And a lot of artists don't understand that music is not just music. It's called the music business. They need to call it the business of music instead of because it's the business is the most important thing. The music, yeah, we know without the music's the product. But the product means nothing if it doesn't have a foundation of great business behind the product. Product without your business being handled. So a lot of these artists aren't handling their business because they're too busy consuming with the music. And that's usually when you're younger. The younger artists are focused on the art and not the business. And then they end up finding themselves heartbroken once the music is done because the business is not handled. Now they got to figure out how to marry the two together. And they usually do it backwards. And that's because a lot of people that's keeping the gates and the doorways into the mainstream industry is not willing to share the information that can change these people's lives. And so I, as an independent, that's what I do. I give away gems and information that most people would be monetizing or doing master classes for because nobody helped me when I was growing up as an independent young artist. And it was always holding on to information that could help me if I wasn't willing to pay for it. And I don't think that's fair to do to people out here, because a lot of stuff is free information, it's public domain. To help people share. And I benefit more because I've been a blessing to people than I would if I was trying to charge them for something that I got for free.
Do you think it's harder to protect your music now? Because it's so mainstream and digital and all of its content, then of course, when you have to go out and you have to go and put it through management and a record label and who's going to listen to it. And
I think there's only a couple. You guys got to do the basic due diligence, man. You just got to copyright your stuff and register the title and your song with your performance rights organization, BMI, CSAC, ASCAP, and go to the Library of Congress, ECO.gov. You can get up to, you can, if you don't know this, I'm giving gems today. On the Electronic Copyright Office website, ECO.gov, if you are unpublished, if you're an unpublished writer, songwriter, or artist, and you upload 10 of your unpublished works, you can pay it for one price instead of paying one price per song. You can do up to 10 songs for the same price, which is like $80 or something like that. And that protects 10 of your songs, whether that's lyrics, whether that's a sound recording. So most of the time you go in the studio and do the demo versions of your songs just to copyright the initial idea. And you can upload the MP3 to the Library of Congress. That's how they do it. You don't do the old IR forms or the forms you used to have to do, all the forms and stuff. A lot of that. But now it's been simplified. So those two basic steps and then registering your stuff with Sound Exchange for your digital stuff is the only major things you need to do to be able to protect your music. And then let's be clear. If you go online and you have a digital timestamp of your idea, that's another way you copyright, believe it or not. Like when you go, if you're in the studio working on something and you video and you show it on your Instagram Live or your Facebook Live, you can go back and show that time date that you initially came up with your intellectual property, because it's intellectual property at that point. Once you finish it or you're working on it in the middle of it and somebody says what takes your idea, you can go back and show when you actually first created this intellectually. That's your proof. So so it doesn't matter if people are trying to take your ideas, if you're showing it prematurely, you're actually protecting yourself digitally, because you can show that on this date, I went live on Instagram or I went live on Facebook and I played a sample of my idea. Yeah. Boom, that goes back. If you put that in the court of a civil court, you can show that that was when you initially came up with it, even if you didn't have to protect it under the Library of Congress or your performance rights organization.
Yeah, that's some knowledge right there. that's a line. I don't know about music. So I want to get to your website. I hope you don't mind me sharing it, because that's where I went and I saw it was called Gentle. I was looking at the video. I actually shared the video because I thought I love your videos. but Gentle, and so, which I love. But I know you're coming out with a lot, but I wanted to ask, with, I'm assuming that you're engineering, writing, doing it all yourself, and just that specific song, where are you getting the inspiration? Or because it seems like it's very personal.
Yeah, you know, the Being Gentle song specifically off the Throwback to Covers EP. Obviously, I took six cover songs that are popular. You know, they're already hit records before I even touched them again. I just wanted to make sure if I was going to reimagine those songs and remix them or remake them, that I did them justice. So that was the first step. But most importantly, the Being Gentle song was a very favorite of mine growing up. And when house parties used to be a real big deal.
Yeah.
You could slow dance with the girl.
That
whole night, you know, like, oh, I want to dance. Would you like to dance?
Sure.
You know, I missed those days where we could really engage and it was okay. You had a good time and you could go home. It was just cool. But that song was one of my favorites growing up as a kid, a young kid. I remember that song called Gentle Calling Your Name by Frederick. Mm-hmm. And so I told myself when I got old enough, I was going to remake that song. And what's crazy about that record, my brother knew the original writer and composer, Jerry Mims. And I called Jerry up and we spoke and it was great to meet him. And man, I said, listen, I want to remake this song. What do you think? He said, go ahead, do what you got to do. Let me hear it and I'll let you know how to proceed. Because normally if you're remaking a song or doing a derivative of a remake, which is when you change some stuff, but you keep the melody idea and something. Mm-hmm. He gave me carte blanche on the record to do what I wanted to do. And we just took it there. Next thing I know, he gave me 50% publishing rights to my version. So the Being Gentle song, as it is that I did, is now 50% of mine. I own half of that record.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. Music industry.
Yeah.
Everybody does that.
If there was an artist that you could work with today,
mm-hmm.
living or deceased, that you could collab with, who would that be? Have you thought of that?
You know, I think I got asked that question before. I've got to go with James Brown, man.
A lot of people say James Brown or Michael Jackson.
I'm going back to James, man, because I just some of that funk, man, and some of that music, boy, and the vocals. James was, listen, before James started going, wow, all the screaming and the, I feel, you know, before he started doing that, James was a bad boy on the vocals. He could sing his tail off. And so to me, there's no funk, there's no soul without James Brown. So I got to start with him. And of course, there's some others I would love to particularly work with. Michael Jackson, of course. Who wouldn't want to work with Mike?
Yeah.
But if currently living, with Bruno Mars and Alicia Keys.
Yeah. Because and Bruno Mars still, I think he has a lot still of the R&B kind of classic rhythmic kind of music. So yeah. Okay. So let's talk about artists.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume because you're independently, are you seeking new artists? Because I noticed that actually you have a couple of artists that you're working with. So I'm assuming that they're your artists.
Mm.
And if we can kind of talk about them, because aside from you, of course, music on your own, helping others, like you said, in your mentoring and helping artists themselves and bringing out your own artists.
Yes, ma'am. I'm independent, but I'm not doing record deals or contracts. I'm doing partnerships. Half of the people I'm dealing with are already independently doing their own things. But you know, you can do better more with a team, and you can do better when you got a consorted effort of interest with people coming together to collaborate and make a product. So what I try to do is bring artists in. So I'm definitely looking to work with artists that want to polish up some stuff from the music to the fiction. I did some stuff with a couple of former major artists. I did about three records on Maxine Jones from En Vogue. I did a record with Glenn Jones. So, I mean, I'm ready to work with a lot of throwback R&B artists that need a hit record or need to be reading a revitalization song. Come see me at Household Name Entertainment. I'm telling you right now, I'm sitting on a serious situation. Best music engineers in the game. My engineer is like vocals from our mixes. That's why my stuff is so industry polished, because I got an engineer that hears what I need him to hear. All my ideas come to life because he makes sure they sound right when they're finished. That's the biggest deal. A lot of artists got great ideas, great music, but the engineer, the mixing stuff, the sonic stuff has to be industry standards.
So are you then also just writing for others, or are you doing everything?
I'm the executive of most of everything you heard, you will hear coming out of my camp, but I don't take credit for everything. I share the credit with everything, and that's my team. my engineer, Brian Porter, my producer, Ivan Johnson. I work with other producers. I'll get beats and tracks from certain people. But then I like to take the elements they may have given me a shell of a record, and then I'll say, okay, it needs a live bass here. It needs a guitar here. So I'll find the best guitar, the best bass musician, like Motown, like Berry Gordy used to do. Berry Gordy didn't sit around and produce every song and take credit for all of the music. He took credit for what he's supposed to, which is the executive. He ran the label. He's a CEO, and he also was a producer himself. So I produce a lot of records without touching some of the music. But I do know how to put it together and arrange and sing and write. And that's what I do. And I bring my team together, and we do Motown. We vet the record. If you're down to your last dime, will you buy this record or a sandwich? And if the record's hot, we gonna listen to the record. If the record ain't that good, we gonna eat.
So
that's kind of our
so is it so are you taking artists from all over, or are you accepting from, it doesn't matter, just in, like, you know, California, LA, Chicago, does it matter?
I'm global. I want to be international relationships. I think the international community, global community in music it transcends a region and a geographical area. I think music is universal, as they say. So for me, I work with international artists. I'm currently working with some international stuff. There's an organization, if I can say so, it's called the Music Marvel Competition. I'm actually vice president of the Music Marvel organization, and we are a global organization where we focus on the independent artists and talent competition called the Music Marvel competition. So if you guys are familiar with that, check it out on Instagram. We're building up platforms for international artists and all over the world. So that's so I'm actually getting ready to produce a couple of international artists from South Africa and India.
So I remember seeing this one. I was listening to her and saw you in the background. Beautiful boy. So is this one of your artists?
yeah, that's Rena Lynn. I did her. She's a Filipino American young lady living in San Jose, California. Just had a baby and just newly wed. And we did this record called Suck It Up, because while she was pregnant, she was like 9 months pregnant when we shot the video, because we was like, how am I going to do the video? And I said, okay, she's pregnant, so let's use the concept of her being pregnant. So a man got to suck it up when a woman going through the 9 months.
So I'm part Filipino myself, is probably why I connected so well. Okay. So did you write this?
Yes, her and I together.
Do you mind if I just play a little of different stuff for people to hear? Do you have a problem with that?
Help yourself. That's what it's there for.
Okay, let's pick a few things. Not because you're here, because I really enjoy your music. And I think that people also need to hear it, not just... And the interview was great. Don't get me wrong. I think people really need to hear some of the music if they haven't. Hear bits and pieces of what you actually do.
Okay, that's what's up.
So for you guys, we're going to play a little bit of this first one here. And this is Suck It Up. And of course, it's Rena Lynn, right?
Yeah, Rena Lynn, yes.
And for those who are watching live, you can actually see the video. I love that right there. That's
Lady, you've been acting so strange. I've been wondering what you're thinking about, baby. I guess you ain't got nothing to say. I hate we don't communicate.
I love that.
A little time and space away. Just say it, or run it, and you stay here, baby. Tell me before I go. 'Cause you know I really need me. Suck it up, suck it up, feel up. If you need a drink, like just let go.
Okay, let me tell you, that song gives you feeling. No, it really does. I listened to that so many times.
Really?
And so is that her also doing the back vocal?
Yes, it's her backgrounds, I produced the song. This was initially a Maxine Jones from En Vogue record. It didn't work out, so I put it on Rena helped me co-write it. And so that record doing really well. It kind of came out of nowhere. Recently, I just found out it's number 52 on the top 150 global independent records in the world right now, and out of nowhere. So I'm excited about that song.
So yeah, that I don't know. That is the kind. That's why I say that's the kind of music that makes you. It's the, how do you say it? It's the way, the feel. It's the, how the flow goes. It'll make you want to cry. Music,
right?
Make you want to tell somebody you love them and you want to marry them, you hate them and you want to kill them because it's right. It's just the feeling of the music. So I just had to play that because I love that music.
Thank you so much.
And I love that. I specifically love that song.
Thank you.
Of course, there's one that I had shared with the young lady, but I didn't see it on here. I actually kind of stopped you a little bit and went to YouTube.
Okay.
And I shared it, but I didn't see it on your site.
Which one?
But, what is that again?
Which song?
She has, what is that? I had just shared it on one of the... one of my shares.
The Being Gentle?
Yeah. It just wasn't there.
Scroll down. It's all the way down. You got to go down all the way down. I moved some things around here recently. I'm actually updating and trying to keep this.
Here it is. That's the one I share. I was like, okay. I'm sorry. I just want to share it. Just listen a little bit.
Hey, it's your show.
I share it on social media, and I was like, I like this. Okay, so you guys, I'm going to stay with the interview, trust me, but you really have to, the music, I mean, it just really, it makes you feel something. I mean, a lot of music today, you dance and you're done with the club, I'm like, okay. But this music, you just continue to take with you. So I just want to play a little bit of it, you guys, just a little bit so you can hear it.
Girl, I understand that your body needs attention, and I don't want to take away from your body's perfections. But being too rough, it's not enough to just be gentle. So don't want to make it hard, cause it's all way too simple.
That your body needs attention, and I wanna take away all your body's aggression. But don't be too rude. I love it touch and soft and gentle as well. Don't wanna make it hard, cause it's way too simple, baby.
I'm not gonna stop loving you, girl, so don't you ever stop being my
girl. I never wanna stop loving you, boy, so don't you ever stop giving me joy.
I'll be gentle.
Please be very gentle
when I'm loving you. When I'm loving you.
I hope you understand that your love's my addiction. By trying to do a leave, then you'll become my addiction. And I
that's just beautiful.
That record. I listen to that record like I'm a fan of it. Not like that's me. I love that record no matter how many times I've heard it in the studio. It's my record. I still listen to it like I'm listening to somebody else and not me. It's just that melody. That song will always go down as one of the baddest R&B records ever made.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you put some steak on that song. That is lovely. I mean, I just want people to hear what I hear. And so, you know, it's hard to find music that's emotional.
Right. Right.
And it's been lost. It's been lost in today's music. And you're just, you know, not all, I don't want people to come and attack me on my podcast.
Right.
But the majority of music, you did, there's no feeling anymore. You sing it and then you're done.
Right.
You know, it doesn't resonate.
I'm with you all the way. And, you know, this song, right, specifically, independently, was the number one independent. I hit the number one on the Indie Soul charts back in September. It's got over 1.15 million streams, and it's doing extremely, it's still on playing all over certain radio stations. I'm maybe a major budget away from a Billboard smash right here. It's still independent, so it's a lot of people not even heard this song yet, and I'm trying to push this to that next level, but it takes a lot of money to get there, man. And I'm realistic, so I'm gonna keep on pushing with what I got, and you know, see what happens. And if I never get to that next level with it, so be it. But I'm gonna always do what I love to do, and that's make music.
So are you working on? Are you having anything in the project right now that we can be surprised with? So I'm telling people, I'm showing your site because you really, really, really need to follow. You really need to see what he is doing because the music's a shit. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Really?
Hey, if you cussing over it, I love it. You got me cussing.
So, I mean, truly, and not because you're here on the show, it's because, I mean, if you've seen my show and the artist that I have on, I have to really enjoy your music.
Right, that's what's happening.
And because I want quality people who are the same who enjoy it. But you have some great stuff and some great players and great writing.
Thank you so much. Did you get a chance to check out the song for the mothers for Mama's Day?
I did not, but I would, you know, I didn't want to be rude and be like, Mike, I didn't want to hear you talk. So
Let's do the music. I'm good. Listen, I talk enough. I'd rather check out the music. Let the people hear the music. Let the music speak. For real.
So yes. So let's listen a little bit more. So everybody who is listening, you can actually jump in on the live. Just go to the website and click on YouTube, yeah, or go Saint click James. On Facebook. It'll take you right here, or go to the Instagram page. So
StJames.com, by the way. SaintJames, StJames.com.
And so let's go with For the Mamas. So this is recent.
Yes, I put that. That's what mother. Well, I dropped it in April and kind of built it up to a fever pitch of independence that I could. It's like, you know, Mother's Day this year specifically had a lot more meaning than most because of the pandemic. A lot of people lost their moms and during the pandemic this year. So I wanted to put this song out this year specifically and give it more homage, because I think one day a year for moms just ain't enough to celebrate the stuff you got to do to put up with, man, and specifically raising young Black men. It's real important, so check it out. For the
and you're having some comments, by the way, on the feed, just to let you know.
Okay, I'm checking them out. Thank you, Stone. That's what's up. Hey, pray for me, brother.
Yo, M54 say we need to be in 1985, bro.
Man, I don't know. All I know is that we're not in 1985. It's like 2025, man. Come on,
right. Yo, we gonna be late for Mother's Day.
I told you not to touch the numbers.
Dog, you're driving.
What does that look from that for the mama? That
looks like Back to the Future. That's the concept.
Yes.
We're going back in time.
We wanna thank you. Taking it back in the day with now was a baby boy. Living on the south side of Chicago. In the dear boy homes, mama was just a young girl trying to make it on her own. I'm letting you know, I want to thank you. Out of the way you made a way, I want to thank you. Working long nights and longer days, I want to thank you. You raised me right, feel my life with love. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you, mama.
I remember waking up early on Sundays. Oh, the diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging the scene with the gangsta lean. Ooh, 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 one of my mama's favorite songs. nothing could go wrong whenever mama was at home. The way my mama used to say, Jesus loves you this, I know. She said, hold on to your faith, don't let no one ever change you. And I said, I know, and I love you for
so hard.
First of all, let me be the one to say thank you to mama for all the things you've done.
There's no doubt, without your prayers for me, I never would have, ever could have made it.
Let me tell you, that's hot. Was that not hot, Stone? Did you see it? I know you love that, Stone. I see that right there. That's some club music.
Well, the mamas, man, that's an anthem now. I think from now on, this song you can play every year. Every day's not enough. One day a year is not enough. So that's an everyday mama record. Every day.
That's you driving in your car, and everybody's doing like this.
That's right. For the mama.
Lovely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So just
vocals are great, by the way. They are smooth.
Thank you so much. A lot going on with me right now. We got three records on the charts right now, independent charts right now. The mama song is in the top 20, an urban urban influencer top 20 R&B soul. Baby Come to Me, that Patty Austin James Ingram remake, is now the number 2 indie soul record in the country, in the world. And Suck It Up is gaining steam too. So I'm excited about having independent placements and stuff going on for the independent music right now. So
let me tell you, you're hot.
Thank you. You're too.
And good. The music is it's hot. It's fire. Because let me tell you, I love all kind of music, but this is a kind of music that, I mean, it's emotional. It's club music. It's today's music. It's yesterday's music. I mean, you have some good music.
Thank you.
Good lyrics, good writing.
Thank you. Please share it with people in the demographic that you are in. And that's what I'm trying to do. Believe it or not, my demographic is 18 to 27. They are loving this style of music right now. So the younger people are actually gravitating towards my sound. When I anticipated reaching the older group, I'm going after my age group, 40, 35 and up. And it seems like the younger ones are loving it more than the support I'm getting from the older people. And they're the one who needs to, this is the style. It's crazy.
Yeah. So for everybody who, of course, is if you are listening and you are not on the live, then, of course, you can watch the video on the replay by simply going into entrepreneurlifeshow.com. You can click on the interview and you can also jump into the chat where you can connect and check out the website, check out the videos, go to YouTube. But if you are watching, let me tell you, you guys, is a must to follow. It's a must to get the music and download it. Now we can find all of your music, and I'm sure I saw some that on Spotify, as well as Apple, Google Play, Amazon, Alexa.
Yes, I'm in the process of putting everything together on my official website where they can actually get the music directly from me. I think those platforms are great. I'm transparent, so I believe that they need to do a better job of compensating the artists. It's a lot of work and a lot of money to put this stuff together, and we making pennies on it. So it's not But only thing fair is fair is where they judge pigs. So you can't worry about fair. You just got to keep grinding it out and try to do good work, and the money will come. Because it's not about money and having a lot of it. It's being able to make a living off of what you do. And that's what a lot of artists are struggling. They're spending a lot of money to make these records and do this videos and all this stuff. And the return isn't that great on these platforms. They got to do a better job of compensating the artists.
Being that you said that, so there's a lot of like the digital download, and people are now using that term, I don't own the rights to this music. Mm-hmm. And which really I hear don't necessarily protect you when you're utilizing someone's music for, you know, like if I were using your music for my podcast or something else. Yeah. But artists aren't getting that money for people or he reusing the music.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, there's a thing called sync licensing. Now, if you go on Instagram and you Facebook and you posting your stories, you can pull up other people's music and use it in your clips or your pictures. That's called sync licensing. What that does is, for every time somebody uses my song in their story or whatnot, you get pennies on it, but it still adds up. But that's a syncing thing. There are options for monetizing your song if people want to use them in certain things. But for the most part, there is a lot of that going around. But the internet, the digital age, like YouTube, a lot of those platforms are getting really smart about being able to hear the song being recognized and being played, and they'll flag it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a better job of that. But like I said, they're not doing that for us as artists.
Right.
They're doing it for themselves so they can get the
money. Right. That was my concern, I hear a lot of that. And it's as if if people can't use it or pay for it, then, you know, you would think that why, if I could use artist music and just say, would you want to pay for the rights to reuse that? Well, then I should have the option to pay for it, and it goes to the artist.
Exactly.
They're just singling it out.
Right. And artists can take back their control of that if you're using these platforms, you're actually putting yourself in a position. I mean, you see, we're cattle in America a lot of times. We're easily kind of shuffled to a certain thing to do. Everybody's running over to Facebook. Everybody's going over to Instagram. Everybody's doing YouTube. And Spotify is the big platform. So if everybody's cattling everybody to, if people are cattling people to those platforms, you start saying, hey, come to my website and buy my music. Come to my website and look at my videos. People are, unless you got a big name and a big brand, and even big name people don't get a lot of website visits. People got to get back to the official website, because that's how most artists independently are going to monetize their product, because you're not going to get major money if you're going through all these other platforms. You're just another.
Right.
You're not even treated with a lot of dignity. I'm just keeping it real. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's great for music. I think we're in a capitalistic society where greed goes on, and we gotta be able to own that and recognize that as a truth. And so I'm in the process of monetizing my website, my own merchandising store. I want to be able to put my music up there where people can download directly or stream it directly. It's a lot of moves I'm making, but in the meantime, I'm using the platforms that are there.
So I heard that years ago I watched an interview about this, but then I recently had some guests on the show, and one where Spreech from Arrested Development, he had touched a little bit on, and this is just in the industry of, I don't know if you would say black or black artists or just the hip hop rap genre, mm-hmm. that the controlling people in the industry intentionally put out for, and when it comes to rap, or I don't know that the right word, but would prefer to put out certain rap music than steering away more of R&B music, because they wanted they just wanted to sell what was kind of just that ghetto cussing, booty shaking, because that's what we wanted to, and that's the only way I can put it, to sell.
I understand.
So, putting out, and so they intentionally were trying to only put out on the market all this rap music, the old back into the Ice Cube days, you know, that kind of stuff, less KRS-One, stuff like that.
Okay.
And so is any of that, does that sound familiar to you, where that was a challenge in the industry?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's funny you mention that, because that's exactly what the powers that be in that are mainstream in the industry of this music want. Listen, everything's connected to racism in this country. Why would music, the music industry, be any different? Everything, if we think about the systemic racism in America, it come, it's in all industries, from entertainment, Fortune 500 companies, corporate America, anything, medical, the healthcare industry. That's all, racism is prevalent in all of those industries and beyond. So why would the music business be any different in terms of a systemic motive or intention from white America? They really want to keep us vegetables. So as long as we talk about nothing in our music, because we got to think, music soothes a savage beast, and music, the universal aspect of music, touches people's lives in every way. So if we put out a bunch of negativity, woe is me, sexually driven type charged information, are you going to feed into that as the narrative of how life's supposed to be? Because I'll go back to Anita Baker, Luther Vandross, Freddie Jackson, some of those people, they inspired me to get through some tough times in my life growing up as a young kid, paying my dues as a young man, what's the passage of life, so to speak? You know what I'm saying? So now, what's the passage of life for young black women and men these days, or just black, just people in general that listen to certain styles of music, if the music's not a reflection of the times? And I don't mean negative reflection of the time. Marvin Gaye wrote "What's Going On" because, and talked about all the stuff that was going on at the time. These records ain't talking about nothing that's going on in the world. We ain't talking about the disparity in economic, social economic disadvantages in education, everything. You know what I'm saying? Relationships, it's all that. It's just crazy. So yeah, that is exactly what they do. And rhythm and blues music has become irrelevant. And a lot of that is because the artists got away from doing what we're supposed to do. That's why I'm not going to abort. My mantra now is I will not abort the R&B mission. So my goal is to never stop presenting R&B, rhythm and blues to people anymore. I was guilty of chasing pop money, trying to sing pop records, to try to, because that's what we thought we had to do to be relevant as black artists and art and as urban and R&B and all that stuff. So I focus on making rhythm and blues. I'm trying to put it right back in your face. I don't care if you don't like it, or I don't care if it's not the norm. It is going to be something you're going to hear from St. James and my team from this point forward. R&B music is my mantra. I will not abort the R&B mission. I will not give up on the sound. Just because everybody else doing what they want to do and everything what's popular, I'm going to do what feels good and what's right.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I see many artists, they rebrand themselves depending on what is selling right now.
Right.
And then that's one question of how you feel about that. I mean, they're not staying true to the brand. So there's two specific artists. I'm not going to say who they are, because I want to get mad at me, that I really, really, really loved. And then I saw everything just change. So now I'm not interested anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but then my question is, you have a lot of artists when I was in my 20s and they were doing some ratchet, whatever stuff out there. And then all of a sudden they get older and they're looking at the artist who was doing all the ratchet stuff back then and saying, well, they're doing for our black youth, our black community, you know, because they're, you know, they got the ass all out or, right. But I'm, you know, and I look back and say, but you were the same artist doing the same stuff. Right. Maybe it was a different method, but you still had the booty shaking girls, you know, half naked. You have the cussing. You have the, you know, I'm going to cap them in the ass. You're saying to the artist today. So because everybody has an opportunity to change. But how do you feel about that? Because that means you're still not staying true to the music, what you put out there.
I think hypocrisy is the real disease in humanity. I've always felt that way. Hypocrisy. The very thing you don't want someone doing to you, you're actually doing yourself anyway. So, and I think as you get older, you tend to forget what you were doing before you got older, become cranky and, you know, just, you know, self-righteousness is a real challenge as you start, once you clean up your act and you finally figure out some things. You can't go back and start turning your nose up and pointing your finger at people that do that now you used to do it. But it's hypocrisy, sis. It's what's going on. So that's a real big issue in our world, in our society, hypocrisy. And so I'm really focused on trying not to be a hypocritical person. But you're not going to always get that right, because sometimes we're conditioned in certain behaviors and certain projection of behaviors, and we don't even realize we're actually projecting certain things in our day-to-day actions because we haven't even taken a look inside to look at ourselves and be transparent and accountable. And that's the biggest issue. So yeah, in music, it's going to happen. Everybody thinks they know what's hot, what's right, what you should do. I just think you got to, I just tell people, if I'm not your cup of tea, then keep it moving. I'm not trying to be loved by the world. Only the people that love what I do. And if you focus on staying true to what you do, and people that love what you do will support you. If we get ahead of ourselves and try to go too massive or get too mainstream or worry about the whole world, you're not going to get nowhere, man. You can't. The journey of a thousand miles begins with the first step. And to me, in the end of the day, it's doing what you love to do and staying consistent with that. Sometimes people can be doing too much of everything and doing nothing at all.
I agree. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're about time's up. I know it's been a little over, but it was a really good show. I really enjoy you being on the show. And so for everybody who has been listening or watching or chiming in, I've seen some of you on the podcast. Thank you. I want to make sure that you guys make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just go to our website, entrepreneurlifeshow.com. You can watch the interview live on the replay as often as you want. You can check out St. James' website, which is in the chat. But he's going to share it again, and we're definitely going to have it on the website, on the YouTube, and within the chat until next time. So if you don't mind, one more time, just sharing where everybody can connect with you, I'd appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. St. James, S-A-I-N-T-J-A-I-M-Z, stjames.com, and all digital platforms, all over social media, Google me. I heard trending. So let's get this music, man. I really want y'all to fall in love with R&B again. Learn to rekindle your relationship with rhythm and blues. Rhythm is the beat and blues is a story. So the song has to have a beat and a damn show better tell a story. Let's get it. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And we will see you guys next time. Until you see next Thursday, the Entrepreneur Live Show. Bye, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. Thank you.